we can get still and quiet before God, the gentle Holy Spirit then can speak to our hearts. So I ask you to ask Him this morning as you sit quietly. Dispel all the thoughts of lunch and this afternoon and your tiredness and your pains and your struggles and your burdens, your hurts. And just sit quietly before the throne of God at His feet. Gaze into His beautiful, marvelous face. And let Him point out to you if there's anything in your life that He would like to address. And if there is, take this moment to let Him address it and do what He leads you and tells you you need to do about it. Amen. Sarah, would you play Barry Cummins? Let's prepare to have communion. Jesus, on the most significant nights of His ministry, gathered His disciples in the upper room there in the corner of Jerusalem, just inside the walls, and in the house of a friend, an attic of a friend. We've actually sat in that room, and He took some bread. After they'd had the Passover meal, He took some bread, and He blessed it, and He said, fellas, He said, I'm starting something new we hadn't ever done before. He said, I'm breaking some bread. And of course, the significance of the Passover, if you're familiar with that, and how they hide the piece of bread in a napkin somewhere in the house, and after they've had their meal, they go find the bread, and it's unbroken, and the master breaks the bread then and everything. So it was a very familiar thing with them when He took that piece of hidden bread and He unwrapped it. And He said, from now on, when you do this, He said, I want you to do it differently, you know. And He said, this is going to represent My body. So every time you take this bread now and you celebrate, for them would have been the Passover, for us it's communion, I want you to realize that that bread represents My body, which is broken. And I believe He broke that piece of bread, matzah, right there in their presence, and handed it out to them. And He said, this is going to represent My body. So He blessed it, and then He broke it, and He gave it to them. Father, I asked You to bless this bread this morning as we receive it in remembrance of You and Your body that was broken for us. The most significant event in the entire history of the world turned our calendars, turned our time, turned our lives, changed our dispensation, prepared mankind for an eternity in heaven with You. Thank You, Jesus, for what this little piece of bread represents to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Deacons, if you would come. Has everyone been served? Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. Thanks, Don. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, Jesus took the cup after supper, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Here, drink ye all of this." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd bless this cup that we're about to receive of grape juice. That's the fruit of the vine that reminds us that you're the vine and we're the branches. Without you, we can do nothing. And at the same time, it reminds us and is symbolic of your blood, which was shed for us, that, as Dan said, covers our sins and washes us and makes us white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for your tremendous sacrifice. For loving us like you do, we love you so much. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you use that one. Donnie, you guys use two over here. everyone been served? Jesus, after he had blessed the cup, said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood," or the New Covenant, no longer under the law, but been liberated by the blood of Jesus. It's a new covenant he made with us. We call it the age of grace. By grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves. Not the keeping of the law anymore. It's the sacrifice of Christ that we accept and appropriate for our lives. He said, "Drink this, and as often as you drink it, remember that this is the new covenant, the new promise that I've made, me, God, has made between you, man, from now on. It's by grace through faith. Remember me when you drink it." What a tremendous sacrifice he made. Praise the Lord for that. Children, if you would like to go to Children's Church now, you can follow Miss Brittany out, and we'll call you back in about 10 minutes or so. I wanted to just talk about baptism this morning, but my boss wanted me to talk about the sixth trait of a soul-winning church. So before we baptize, that's what I'm going to do. And then I'll talk about baptism when I get into the baptistry pool. We will strive to conclude at noon. That's going to be a great striving on my part. You'll see that we have on our wall the six qualities of a soul-winning church as demonstrated for us in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Verses 42 through 47. To refresh your memory, I want to ask you a question this morning. What is praise? Now, let me say something else, too. Church is the most significant time of community interaction that we spend during the week. It's more important than our job, our school, our social clubs, and everything else. Church is about the one that died to pay the penalty for our sins and get us ready to serve Him. It needs to be a priority in your heart. If it isn't, you need to spend a little more time in the closet. What is praise? I thought about that this week substantially as I prepared to share with you the sixth trait, the last trait that's listed for us in this passage of Scripture about the church. What is it that causes spontaneous praise to come from us? It's God's blessings. Isn't it amazing when someone gets a great big blessing? What do you say? Praise the Lord. You know, you have a baby and it's born. It looks like its mother instead of you. What do you say? Praise the Lord. I mean, when God blesses you, it's easy to spontaneously praise the Lord, isn't it? So God's blessings bring praises. In difficulties, we have to drag up that praise. But it's in blessings that it's spontaneous. We're supposed to praise Him, though, even in the midst of difficulties. When you look at the Church of Jerusalem that we've been looking at and what was going on, it's easy to understand why they were praising God. Man, they were having church. Every time they got together, they were having church, and they loved to have church, and they loved to get together. So God was blessing, and when God blesses you, say, praise the Lord. So they were praising Him. What is praise? All this led to an amazing amount of people being added to the churches. You know, one of the things that I have discovered after being a pastor for over 30 years, that the churches that are anemic do not have an enthusiastic praise atmosphere. and the churches that are growing and that are dynamic and that I want to go be a part of, it's fun. They praise God. Do we want to be, the question is, do we want to be an anemic, dead, static preacher? We've got it the way we want it. Don't mess with the things we've got here. We like the families that are here. We like what they are, how they dress, how they smell. We don't want any of this other stuff in here. Let's keep it like it is. We're all Christians. We're going to heaven, so don't mess with us. Or do we want to be a church that people feel welcome and want to come regardless of their socioeconomic background or what they eat or what they wear or where they go or anything else about them? What kind of church do we want to be? Let me tell you what kind of church I want to pastor. I want to pastor one of those dynamic, growing churches that people want to come to. By God's grace, I won't stay in a dead church unless God makes me. I'll stay wherever He makes me. But I want to be part of a dynamic, growing church. And if you don't want to be, get right or get out. That's user-friendly, isn't it? Consider what led to the... You guys all right? We just had communion now. Remember, you're holy. Okay? Can't be ugly to the pastor. Look at what led to their praise. They were steadfast in their practice. First thing we put up there. Peter said, after 25 years of being a preacher and a pastor, he said, the only thing that you need to withstand the assaults of Satan is steadfastness. Make up your mind, bless God, that you're going to be somebody of significance and you're going to be a holy person in this world for the kingdom of God and live that way. Amen. Steadfast. In interest of time, number two. The things that happened in the congregation was or were miraculous. If you can figure out, plan, and orchestrate the things that are going to be happening that God's doing, probably God's not a whole lot of part of it. When God shows up, God does God-sized things in a congregation. Number three. They were practical in their care. These were work people, artisans, craftsmen, soldiers, homemakers that sincerely and truly cared about and took care of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing demonstrates the love of Christ any greater, number four. They were united in their participation. There was unity in the church. They were united. Do you want to be a soul winning church? It's impossible without unity. God moves His hand of blessing from a church when unity disappears in the congregation. Number five, that we dealt with last month, 2 months ago. They were joyful in their fellowship. Verse 46b of Acts chapter 2. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were all about the same thing and they were happy about being about the same thing. They were joyful in their fellowship. One of the things that contributes to gladness in a congregation is singleness of hearts. Singleness of heart. They had unity with joy in their doctrine, their fellowship, their prayers, their possessions, their church attendance, their focus, and their purpose. They were united. And finally today, there was praise in their hearts. Verse 47, Acts chapter 2. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God and having favor with all the people. What, how, and why is praise? Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. You see what the early church did. We know what the results were. There were people added to the church daily, such as should be saved. In Acts chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, tells us why we ought to praise God. Secondly, he tells us how we ought to praise Him. And finally, and most importantly to me, he tells us what praise is. Hang on. I'm going to give you a 30-minute sermon in about 3 minutes. That'll be a miracle. Are you there? Acts 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also... Oh, there is so much in this scripture as there is in all of God's scriptures. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. We just celebrated the first of the ordinances that God gave us there by taking the grape juice that represents to us His blood. that washes our souls, our sins, and makes us white as snow. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Now remember, the book of Hebrews is about the insufficiency of the blood sacrifice of animals and the total sufficiency one time of the sacrifice of Jesus' blood. That's the whole book of Hebrews. You just had a book report from the book of Hebrews. That's what it's about. So he says, here's what Jesus did and what he did. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. Why should we worship Jesus Christ? Because he simply paid the penalty with his life for your sins. Do you realize that sin incurs a debt? And you and I owed that debt because of the sin that we committed. And in his foreknowledge, he knew that you and I were going to commit those sins, you bunch of adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, and liars. That's user-friendly too, isn't it? Whew. All of us, if you think it, Jesus said, it's in your heart, you're guilty of it. Who in here can stand and say they're innocent? Not a single one of us. And some of us have lived those things out, those atrocious things. And Jesus said, you deserve death because God cannot stand in the presence of sin. And Jesus wanted you to live with him forever in heaven so badly till he said, listen to me. He said, I'll take that debt and I'll pay it myself. Everything that I deserved, Jesus said, I love that old knot-headed, dumb hillbilly boy enough till I will pay the debt that he's incurred that's already written on the books. I'll pay it. How can you not love him? Why should we praise him? Because you're sitting here this morning debt-free. Wow. The debt had to be paid. This payment not only gave you eternal life, but he said that he might sanctify you. Do you know what that means, guys? Will you just bear with this simple old hillbilly boy a minute? Do you understand what that sanctified means? Do you understand that it means that you are holy? That's what sanctified is. Through the blood of Jesus, you're sitting here this morning in all your, whatever it is you're in, too many possibilities to enumerate, holy, holy. You didn't act holy before you came to church this morning. I guess if husbands and wives could stand up and testify about each other and the kids, they wasn't holy at my... Oh, yes, you were. If you were washed in the blood of Jesus, you're just battling in a battle zone. That's what the problem is. And you're going to battle in that battling zone until you get out of this body and get out of the only hell that you're going to have to experience. And that's what you experience on this earth. Because when I can finally get out of this body, I'm out of the trouble and the anguish and the pain and the suffering, guys. It's over. Jesus said, I want you made holy. He made us holy by his blood. When I fell down on my knees as an 11-year-old boy in the altar at Elk Valley Baptist Church, and asked Jesus into my heart, he made me a holy man. I've been holy ever since. I've not always acted holy. My wife says sometimes that I've never thought of divorcing him, thought about killing him many, many, many times. God made me holy. God made you holy. Why should I worship him and praise him? Because I'm holy. He gave me eternal life. He did it by suffering outside the gate. Did you notice that? Do you know that outside the gate of Jerusalem was a place of refuge and waste and trash and filth and everything bad? That's where he went to pay the penalty for my sins. You know, he could have done it any other way, but he chose to do it that way. How can you not love him? How do we praise him then? Verse 13. Let us do the same thing. Let us go forth too. Let us go forth too. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean for me to go where he went? Identify yourself joyfully, joyfully with his place. In this world today, Jesus' place is a place of ridicule and mock in our popular media. You never see Jesus portrayed in a favorable light in anything that comes out of Hollywood. Never. Unless you go see Last Ounce of Courage. Or one or two of the other movie, I've got a poster in the back there that you need to go see. Going to his place, Going to his reputation. The world makes fun of Jesus. All right, let them make fun of me. I'm going outside the gate with him, okay? I'm going with him. That's why. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going with him. I'm going outside the gate with him. I'm going to his place of shame. I'm going to have his attitude. I'm going to love people even if they hate me and act ugly to me. I'm going outside the gate with Jesus. I'm going to act like he acts. I'm going to conduct myself in that way. A place of shame and despise and mockery. I'm going to identify with him. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going out there. Outside the gate. All that the world looks down on as shameful about Christ, I want them to look down on me the same way. That's how I'm going to do it. That's how the writer of Hebrews said to do it. And then finally, what is it? If I ask you how you praise the Lord and why would you identify praise, what would you say? Well, you don't have to guess. God tells us what praise is, okay? I'm praising the Lord. No, you're not. No, you're just having a holy epiphany or whatever you're having. The writer says that in order to praise God, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is it? It's your words. It's the fruit of your lips. No, you're not praising God. You may be in your heart. You may be doing whatever you want to do, and you may be getting tighter with God and all this kind of stuff when you're doing that. But no, when you're praising God, you're speaking words and saying, I praise God. He is worthy of praise. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He loves you. He did everything in the world for you. You need to serve him. You need to praise him. When you're praising God, you cannot praise God by a lifestyle. Listen to me. You have to do it with your mouth. That's what the Bible says. God's right or he's wrong. Not wrong. Well, I witness by my lifestyle, preacher. We do it with our words. That's how we praise him. With our mouth we give him praise. Listen to this statement. Now I'm through almost. God, listen to this. This is from God, man. And I didn't even read this from anybody. This just God, just give me this. God needs, in quotation marks, nothing else. Doesn't need water, doesn't need food, doesn't need money, doesn't need power, doesn't need knowledge. There's not a single thing that God, quote unquote, needs except our praise. God is not sustained by anything, but if God was sustained by anything, it would be by praise because he is worthy. It's the only thing he needs. He asks a lot more, but that's the only thing that he needs is our praise. And we do it with that. We do it with this and this. That's how we praise him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also are lively stones. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What is it? Listen. Philippians 4, 6, I'm through. Ladies, come get ready to play so everybody can sing. And somebody go get the children and drag them back in here kicking and screaming. And let's get ready to baptize. But listen to Philippians 4, 6. Do not worry about anything. Listen to me. Look at me. Don't look at these pretty women. Look at me. I'm uglier than they are, but I'm telling you something. It's better than what they're just getting ready to play. I'm talking, okay? Do not worry about anything. King James Version, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I don't understand what's happening, Lord. Sometimes things happen I can't handle. Sometimes things happen I don't understand. But I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, because you're worthy. And this is what I feel like I need. I just want to praise you, Lord. Just want to let you know. Just want to let you know that I'm on your side. Whatever it is you want to bring my way, I'm going to thank you and praise you for it. Father, just thank you this morning for all your blessings in Jesus' name. Would you help us as a church to praise you do all these other things, Father, so that you can add to this church those that should be saved. Now, Father, we have tried to focus on these traits of the church, and we have tried to assimilate those traits into our congregation. So, Father, as best as we can, we're doing and going to continue to do that. So I ask you would add to this church those that should be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask Bailey Henderson and Dan and Barbara Hodges. Everybody stand, please. You ladies can just get ready to play. We're going to play in a minute. We are going to play in a minute. If you need to get saved or anything you need to do, altar call or whatever, we'll do that after church. You can see me and we'll just spend the part of the afternoon doing that as much as we really, really need to. But Dan and Barbara want to join our church by letter from Ball Mountain Baptist Church. Would you guys come on up? Dan and Barbara. And Bailey, would you come on up, baby girl? She got saved last week. Yeah, ain't that good? Let's give God a hand. Love you, honey. Love you. And this crowd right here, if I could teach them to sing and get them a little bit, and pray for them. It's hard, man. It's hard to be able to vacation all the time, but they work at it harder than anybody I know. So pray for these guys, for God to give them strength and resources to enjoy this time of retirement. What a blessing they've been to our church. And in the music department and everything else. And Bailey, now I'm going to expect her to be a little missionary and get her whole family in here in church every Sunday. What a blessing. Our Bailey's going to be baptized. What's the pleasure of the church? She's joining waiting baptism. I'm going to baptize her right now before she backs out. What's the pleasure of the church?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This couple right here by letter, what's the pleasure of the church? Amen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hallelujah. Isn't that great? All right. At the conclusion of the service, you can give Dan and Barbara the right hand of full fellowship into the church. Joe joined the church last Sunday. Come on up, Joe. Joined the church last Sunday. He and I and Bailey are going over in this room right here while you sing a song. And in 2.5 minutes, time, okay, watch you, look at your watch. Okay, in 2.5 minutes, we're going to baptize them. And then you can give them the right hand of full fellowship next Sunday. Okay? Now, is there anyone else that would like to join the church or get saved or rededicate their life or anything before we continue on? I'm in no hurry, guys. I'm good. All right. You want them to sit down or stand up while it's? Let them sit down. Whatever you want. If you want to sit down. We're just going to be a couple more minutes. Okay? And there's guys outside the door with guns. If you start out before I get through, we're going to have funerals next week. Okay? All right, guys. Love you, guys.
Glad to have you. We're going to sing page 182 if you'll join us in singing.
Yeah, right on back through there. Okay. You okay? Now don't. Now don't be. Thank you, Brittany. Praise the Lord. Any of you that'd like to take pictures, feel free to come on, get up here to the front or wherever you need to. This is, next to being saved, this is the second most significant thing that happens in your life. And the third most significant thing is when God unites you with someone to spend your life with and two of you become one. Isn't that great? Mom, if you want to, you can just come over here and take a picture from right in here if you want to, whatever you want to do. Listen, I talked to these candidates about baptism. They understand, as Peter said, that it's not the washing of water that cleanses, but the answer of a clear conscience towards God. You see, and they're identifying themselves. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 10 that if we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we would be saved. Do you understand that if you don't, Jesus actually said, if you don't confess me before men, listen, I'll not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. So if you say I'm a closet Christian, when you get to heaven, you're going to be in trouble, baby, because there's going to be no one on your side. This is part of their public profession. Jesus said, if you'll profess me, if you're willing to go up in front of everybody and let people know this is where I stand for, and then you live it out in your life. Jesus said, when you get to glory, hey, baby, it's going to be me and you. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, I'm going to be on your side. Guess who wins? He does. So, Bailey, thank God that you gave your life to the Lord at an early age. I'm excited about what He's going to do with you and your family. God's going to use you greatly. So I want you to let Him commit your life to Him and just follow through with this commitment you've made. And we're going to be meeting, having some other meetings and things, all of us guys, as time goes on. So, all right. So in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, you can go right up. Did you get that, Mom? Okay. Joe? Joe comes from a long line of strong Christians. Has a grandpa that loves Jesus and can pray as good as anybody I ever heard. You can tell when he starts praying, when Brother Howard starts praying, that he's been in the closet talking to the man before he got here. I like that, don't you? So, Joe, I'm expecting great things out of you, dear brother. And I plan on being here to walk alongside you and help you on your journey. So, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Need to hold your nose. Need to hold your nose. Just get your breath. You ready? All right. Amen. Now you'll go back out the way you came in. Okay? Would you stand with me, please? Ain't God good? Don't you love Him? Brother Barry, would you close us in prayer, please?